Hi there, Carl Massey here, author of The Guidebook to Happiness and The Guidebook to Optimum Health. And welcome to this week's session of the Happiness Class, coming to you from Bali, from my beautiful little office here in Bali. It's a gorgeous day here in Bali, sunny. It's actually winter time. It's like July 21st in Bali. Winter in Bali is like coolish nights, beautiful sunny day. So an awesome time of the year to be living in or traveling to Bali if you thus get the urge. So thank you very much for joining me for the Happiness Class, where we're going to look at some very practical tips, tools, strategies, insights on how to not only increase your happiness, but to increase your health, your vitality, and even this thing called success in life. And on talking about success, I've just started writing my third book, which is called The Guidebook to Authentic Success. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about success as we go along, as the months progress, as I get a little bit clearer idea about what I'm writing about, and as things jump out of that book, I'm going to share them with you along the way. So thanks very much for joining me. I've had a bit of a break for about 4 weeks. So if you're a regular listener to me, firstly, thank you very much for being a regular listener. And thank you for hanging in there. And my apologies for not being around for the last few weeks. Now, I was going to make up some excuses to why I didn't do it, this and that, and you know, maybe I was taking a summer break and all that sort of stuff. But like I said, it's winter here in Bali, so there's no summer break action going on, and work goes on as usual for me through the middle of the year. I take my breaks generally in December. So one of the reasons I did pull back for a bit, I ran a course in July, and it was quite a challenging course, and we had a few ups and downs, as you do, experiencing these different things. And as a result, I was like a little bit frazzled at the end of it. So I thought, I'm just going to kick back and take a little bit easy. So I wound down my program a little bit. I reduced the amount of coaching that I normally do. And I took it a little bit easy. And I read a lot of fiction books. I normally read a lot of non-fiction books, but I decided to read a whole bunch of fiction books, which were pretty mindless sort of stuff. And it was a nice little break for my brain, which I normally work out on a fairly regular sort of basis. So if you're a regular listener and you're a bit ticked off or disappointed or whatever emotion was going on that Carl Massey wasn't showing up on his weekly regular basis, my apologies, and know that I am back. And again, what I would like to do is hear from you. So if there's a particular topic that you like or don't like, or you would like to give me some feedback, I'd love to hear from you, because it sometimes feels a little bit lonely on the island. Standing here talking into a microphone, I know you're listening, but for me it'd be great to get some feedback. So feel free to connect with me on Facebook, or anytime you can jump on my website, Carl Massey, CarlMassy.com, and on the contact page, just drop a line there and it will get to me and I'll personally answer to you. So you can ask me any questions, you can ask for any advice on stuff or suggestions of topics that you'd love to hear about. That'd be fantastic for me to hear from you along those lines. Now, as with every podcast I do, in fact, with every presentation I do, with every seminar, workshop, with every coaching session I do with my clients, I'm always, always, always looking to find what are the practical tips, tools, strategies someone can take away today, like immediately after finishing the work with me, something that they can take away and put into play. And that's what it's about. The other thing for me is, like, you know, I call myself a strategist. I'm very much about looking for the things that have got the biggest return on investment. So what are the things that require the least amount of time, energy, effort, that have the biggest return on investment, that you get the most, bang for your buck out of? So what I want to talk to you today about is this idea about stopping negative thoughts. So this was a particular email that I got from one of the listeners out there. So thank you very much for asking the questions. And it was like someone trying to move through some tough times. Maybe they went through a tough separation or a few life experiences, and they were asking me, how do you get rid of negative thoughts? How do you stop these negative thoughts? And I know it's a question that others have asked me over the years, and it's certainly something that I've worked on specifically with my clients and more specifically with myself. So, you know, One of the first things I'm going to say is, when we're talking about how to stop negative thoughts, I have in my questionnaires, when I'm doing a coaching session with someone, before I do the coaching session, I send them a document with a whole bunch of questions. And there's some tough questions there. And a lot of the questions are the first time someone's been asked that question. So it starts their mind ticking over. So it's tapping into stuff a little bit deeper that's generally sort of tucked away in that subconscious part of the brain. It's something that's consciously thought of at the front. And one of the things I ask my clients is, what do you believe is within your control? So I want to know whether they feel powerful or powerlessness, or, you know, where they feel that they have control in their lives. And a lot of times people will say, I have control of my thoughts. And I'm like, oh, very, very interesting. So here's the research on it. And now I've a different variants of this number, but the number is a big number. So it doesn't matter exactly whether it's 60,000 or 55,000 or 65,000 or 50,000. Let's go with 60,000. So we have something like 60,000 thoughts a day. Don't know how someone came up with that number, but something like 60,000 thoughts a day. Of those 60,000 thoughts a day, most of them are repetitions of the same thought from yesterday. So again, I've heard suggestions like, you know, upwards of 80 to 95% of our thoughts are repetition from the previous day. So they're not even original thoughts. We're having all of these same thoughts on a regular basis, up to 60,000 thoughts a day. So here's the thing. Can we control the thoughts? Can we control the 60,000 thoughts coming into our head? No. So the first thing we need to realize is it's okay to have a whole bunch of random stupid thoughts come into our minds. It's just normal. Of that 60,000, there's bound to be a shocking number of useless ones. In fact, a number that suggests is something like, you know, 70% of the thoughts we have are negative thoughts. Upwards of 70% actually. So we have a whole bunch of these thoughts bouncing around in our head, and we truly don't have the ability to stop this flood of negative thoughts, positive thoughts, whatever thoughts into our brains. So that's the first thing. And that is a good thing, actually. That is a good thing because we can go, I don't have to control every thought that comes into my head. And the fact that I have a negative thought come into my head isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a sign that I've got a negative thought coming into my head. So you can't control all the thoughts that come into your head, but the thing you can control, the thing you absolutely must control, the thing that's essential for you, moving in the direction that you want to move in, achieving the results you want to achieve, and having those feelings that you want to feel. You can determine where you put your attention. This is this thing called consciousness. This is this thing, this prefrontal lobe. This is this cortex part of our brain, this thinking, higher evolved part of our brain that allows us to direct our attention. So if we've got sort of 10 thoughts lined up, and, you know, let's say that 70% of them are negative. So of those 10 thoughts, 7 are negative, 3 are positive. We have the ability to consciously choose what thought we're going to focus our attention on. We can decide we're going to focus on that positive thought. We can focus on those 3 positive thoughts among the 10 thoughts that we had in our brain. So that's the very first thing. How can we stop negative emotions? How can we stop negative thinking? The first thing is to realize there's a whole bunch of thoughts. What we need to do is become conscious of what we're focusing our attention on. Are we focusing on the negatives? Are we focusing on taking ourselves in that downward spiral? Or are we focusing on those positives? Are we focusing on the things that are taking us forward, that are moving us in that forward direction, that are, in inverted commas, positive thoughts? So this positive thinking thing is not so much about thinking positive, it's like paying attention to those things that are positive and bring more energy and attention into them. So whatever we direct our attention to, like, energy flows into that. And whatever energy flows into expands, gets bigger, becomes more. So that's the first thing we need to know. We can choose what we pay our attention to. So we can either, and the next thing we can do is, okay, we've got all these thoughts coming up. The next thing we can do is we can even be a co-creator in our universe. We can actually form new thoughts. So rather than just having the old ones just play up and living in the past and picking and choosing from that collection that is presented to us, we can become an inventor. We can invent our own thoughts. We can create our own vision. We can say the vision that I want to have, the vision that makes me feel alive, the vision that fills me up and excites me and gets me to jump out of bed in the morning is this, Vision X. You can create Vision X and then direct your attention towards that. So this is the other way. First, we just pay our attention on the positive thoughts. Next thing, we can actually choose the thought that we want to put in our head. I've started doing something of late. I attended a seminar in Singapore 2 or 3 weeks ago, and one of the tips, I guess, the presenter was talking about was saying, you know, he writes out on a post-it note what he calls my heart's desire. So he writes out a number of things that his heart desires, and he just writes those out every day. So he writes out a new post-it note with the new things written down every day, and what he's doing is he's programming his mind, he's conditioning his mind, and he's co-creating the thoughts that he wants to go into his mind. So he wants to draw his attention to this consciously, so that becomes the picture that is absorbed by the subconscious mind. So for example, like I've written my heart's desire for today, and I talk about my relationship. We have a loving, caring, and fun relationship. We have amazing adventures traveling the world. Work pays for my travels. Thank you very much. Work, I'm bombarded with opportunities daily. I get weekly requests to present in different organizations around the world. I'm paid a certain amount of money for each of the presentations. I earn a certain amount of money each year. I am self-healing. My eyesight and hearing is always getting better. So one of these days, I'm actually going to be able to take those glasses away as my eyesight gets better. I'm vibrant and vital. And I work with amazing coaching clients from 3 to 6 months at a time. So that is sort of embedding, you know, creating. If I don't want to have negative thoughts, the way to get rid of those negative thoughts is fill my mind with the things I do want to think about. It's that concept of, you know, if we go into a room which is dark, how do we get rid of the dark? We don't have to pull the dark out. We flick a switch on or we bring light into the room. The light coming into the room removes the darkness. And the same thing for ourselves. If we want to remove a negative thought, one of the best ways is to plant a positive thought in there. Plant a positive image. And if we can plant a positive image and then connect emotion to it, we're actually doing is then creating something at a very physical level. You know, the more emotion we get, the more we're feeling it through our entire body. So it's not just a flash of a thought in our mind, a little bit of an electrical spark. It's a bit of this chemistry, biology moving through our body. It's creation of this new neural pathway in our mind. So again, if we want to get out of these negative thoughts, we want to create an image, a vision of what we do want to have in our life, what we do want to move towards, what story we do want to enact in our life. And the more we can see that clearly, create that picture in our mind, the more we emotionally engage with it. The other thing that happens is when we create that vision, if we're very clear about that vision and we connect to it on a regular basis, we're taking up the space in our brain. So there's no room for these other negative thoughts. That, you know, two emotions can't coexist. You can't have a positive and negative emotion coexisting because there's a different biology related to them. So when you introduce this positive vision and you introduce those positive emotions, the other thing you're doing is when you create that positive vision, you're actually turning on or activating that part of the brain. You've probably heard it before, and if you've listened to me before, you've heard me talk about this RAS, this reticular activating system. So it's this part of your brain. If you say, this is the vision I want, this is the vision I'm moving for, this part of your brain goes, and we'd sort of call it in the subconscious part of the brain. It's not something. You don't sort of go, I'm activating the RAS now. It's a subconscious part of your brain. All you need to do to activate it is focus on a particular thing. It's that whole idea of, you know, focus on red cars, or you buy a red car and then you notice all these other red cars. That's the reticular activating system. So again, rather than just waiting for something to happen, you could actually purposefully activate that reticular activating system by getting clear about what your vision is and implanting a particular vision. So that particular vision then that you've created activates this RAS, this reticular activating system, and you start noticing the things that are going to help you to achieve the vision that you want to achieve. If your vision is to have, you know, in my case, it might be to have, you know, 5 amazing clients each year who I work with on a regular basis, who are these type of people. Like, that might be my vision of my ideal coaching practice. So what that does is it means my reticular activating system is on the lookout for those type of people that fit into the demographic of people I want to work with. I'm hypervigilant. And I don't have to do it consciously. My subconscious mind is hypervigilant to bring forward the things to life that are going to help me achieve that vision. I mean, this is tapping into this powerful part of the brain. And if we don't do it, we just get pulled along or pushed along throughout our life. We want to be co-creators in our life. So it's about choosing the vision. The other thing with, you know, a lot of thoughts too can be like negative thoughts. So this negative thought can keep coming up. Someone has a particular experience and they tend to ruminate on that. They tend to bring that. There's a couple of things. First thing I say will be, you know, change the story. Stop playing the same story. You know, if I have a new client and I let them tell me one time their woeful story, say, it might have been this breakup, it might have been this tragedy, it might have been something or other. I said, okay, you can tell me once. That's that old story. But once you've told me that old story once, that's it. I don't want to hear it again. I want to hear the new story. I want to hear the new story that you're creating. Because our stories become our reality. If we keep telling that old story, if we keep staying and focusing our attention on that negative story, that negative spiral that continues taking us down. So we need to break the stories. We need to become conscious of when we get caught in a story. Because it might be more than a thought. It might be a whole bunch of thoughts together which become a story. So you want to call yourself out on those stories. And maybe you have a name for it. You go, I'm playing the whole breakup story again. And you catch yourself out and you're like, whoa. That's it. That's enough. I'm sick of playing the bloke up story. What's a much nicer story? And you pick up a different book to listen to. You pick up a book which is this new story. And you read that new story and you let that new story play around in your mind. And it becomes a new story. It's you saying, you know, in my old story was I used to be like that. My new story is I'm a little bit more confident. I'm a little bit more self-aware. I'm a little bit more conscious. I'm a little bit more likely to choose this choice over that choice. I'm a little bit more likely to introduce these things into my life. That's consciously being there. That's consciously choosing the story that you want in your life. Now, the other thing with stories is, and this is the way the brain works, so particularly this subconscious part of our brain. And when we talk conscious, subconscious, the analogy I like is the conscious mind is like a flea. Subconscious mind is like an elephant. It's big. It's powerful. So we want to have our subconscious mind on track. And some people talk about one person I can think of in particular, Dr. Darren Weissman, who's written a couple of books and is an amazing therapist. And he has this amazing technique called the Lifeline Technique. And he talks about, you know, the subconscious mind being there to learn and protect. That's pretty much its roles. And from an evolutionary perspective, that's what the brain there is to do. It's to have me survive, have the species survive. So it's learning and protecting. It's forever trying to learn things so it doesn't make the same mistake again. So it's learning that if you put your hand on a hot plate, you burn your hand, so it makes sure that that doesn't happen again. So you get the lesson. A lot of times we have these old stories playing, but we've never taken the time to sit down and learn the lessons that are there, the blessings that are in this particular experience. I truly believe everything that happens in our life is an opportunity for learning and growth. Every single thing that happens to us is an opportunity. Now, we can choose to look at the negative and we can take ourselves in a downward spiral, but for every negative, there's an equal and opposite positive. There is always, 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 always. It's called law of polarity. Positive, negative, up, down, inside, outside. There's an opposite of everything. So when something happens, we can focus our attention on the opportunity to learn and grow. When we do that, when we get the lessons, we don't have to hang on to playing the whole story. Because the whole story is just going, I'm playing this whole story in my brain and my brain's playing this whole story so I don't make the same mistake again. How about if I just take the lessons out? And I don't need to play the whole freaking story and that story might go on for an hour. And I might just go, I don't need to watch the whole story. I just need the executive summary which tells me what the lessons are to be learned about that, and that's what I'm going to use. So sometimes when we take the lessons out of a particular situation, then we can let it go. Then we don't need to play that story. Then we don't need to be stuck in that story, and we don't need to have those negative thoughts and that negative story taking up space in our mind. The next thing we want to do is we want to flip. We want to flip from the negative to the positive. So whenever we catch ourselves ruminating, we catch ourselves focusing on the negative, we catch ourselves getting caught up in those negative thoughts, we flip it. We flip it into the positive. Now, that might be a specific positive related to the specific thing you're going through, or it might be a mantra. You know, for me this month, well, this week at this stage, but it's probably going to extend for longer, I said a few words which are my intention for this week. So whenever I get caught up in racing or worrying about getting too frustrated or trying to push things too hard or getting too intense, that's my little story and that's my little behavioral pattern that I'm working on that I prefer to put to bed. And I'd prefer to replace it with something better. So what I have is I flip it. As soon as I'm sort of going down that, having those thoughts, whatever, I'm like, whoa, and I flip it. And I've got a few words that I have as my intention. Slow down. Calm. Become aware. Get deliberate. So I have these words, slow, calm, aware, deliberate. And when I flip whatever I'm going through back into this space, this co-creation of what I want to experience in this particular moment, and I bring those words to mind, slow, okay, I've got to slow down, calm, okay, I might need to breathe a little bit more, awareness, okay, I might need to be aware of what's around me, and I might need that higher perspective so I become even more aware of what's either side of me, and I become deliberate. So I've slowed down, I've got calm, I've become aware. And now what do I deliberately want to do? What is my deliberate choice? What am I deliberately focusing? What is my deliberate thought process? What am I deliberately physically doing? What are my habits? What are my deliberate emotions that I'm going to introduce into this particular moment? What pattern interrupts am I going to do? Am I going to walk on the spot, which is called walking and breathing, surprisingly enough? Am I doing that to shift myself out? And this idea of like catch yourself out, flip it, catch yourself out, flip it, catch yourself out, flip it, it's called persistence. And the most successful people in the entrepreneurial space, in the business space, that have created their own companies and taking them big are the people who are most persistent. You know, mastery is the result of persistence. That master in martial arts didn't become that martial arts master because they occasionally did things, they persistently did it. They persistently did the basic. They persistently did the basic punch and they did it thousands and thousands of times before they got to mastery. So the same thing applies. Like, want to change your negative thoughts, time to introduce this idea of mastery through persistence. Persistently flip, persistently flip, persistently flip, persistently flip. Flip, repeat, flip, repeat, flip, repeat. So that is one of the things. If we want to stop negative thoughts, we need to engage persistence. We need to say, look, this is worthy of doing. This is worthy of me being here doing this thing. Okay. Now, the last point I want to say as far as how we change or how we stop our negative thoughts, one of the best ways is change our physiology. So move our body. As we move our body, we start different chemistry happening through our body. Different biology is going on, biochemistry. We've got different hormones coursing through the bloodstream in our body, certainly getting into the brain region as well. So one of the best ways we can stop that negative thinking is to move our physical body. And when we move our physical body from a psychological perspective as well, we start feeling better about ourselves, not because we've got the feel-good chemicals going off, but because we actually know we're doing something good for ourselves. So at a consciousness level, we go, we're doing something good for ourselves. Over there in the past, I was just ruminating and having those negative thoughts. Now I've gone off and I physically move my body. I'm actually doing something great for my body. So I'm feeling good about myself. I'm feeling a little bit more of that self-love thing happening, a bit of self-esteem. So that's one of the last points I'll say on how to stop negative thoughts. Now, as always, I like to sort of wrap up summary-wise at the end. And again, I want you to, you know, maybe take one of these things, a couple of these things, and walk away with them. So the first thing I said was, you know that you can't stop all of these thoughts coming into your mind, but you can pay attention to the thoughts you want to put your attention into. So I talked about of the 10 thoughts, maybe 7 of them are negative. Pay attention to the 3 positive. So you can do that. You can do that with your conscious mind. Create your own vision. You know, what is the vision that you want to create? Create that vision and activate that reticular activating system. You know, this is the benefit of goals. Maybe goals get a bad rap and that sort of stuff. But the idea is when we create that goal, we're actually putting the imprint in our subconscious mind so we can activate that reticular activating system. The third thing I talked about was the stories and changing the story, not sort of getting caught up in that old story, sort of going, whoa, I'm playing the old story. What's the new story? And activating and integrating that new story. And learning the lessons. When we get the lessons, we can let the whole story go. That story was about, you know, getting involved with the wrong people in business and, you know, it's all the pain that went into that poor business decision and losing that money and all of those meetings that were horrible and those times you thought you'd blown all your dough and all that sort of stuff. I'm talking from personal experience here. Now, I can choose to, like, play that whole story, which is pretty woeful, or I can go, what I've learned out of it is it's so important in business partnerships. And what I do is I take that now and I use that in my coaching and consulting practice. So I work with business owners and particularly business owners that have got business relationships, partnerships, and I work with those organizations to make sure that there's harmony in those, because I understand what it's like when that business partnership is out of harmony. So it's something that I've learned from my own personal experience that now I bring into the work I do, and it allows me to do the work I do at a much higher level. So there was an absolute gift in that experience, which allowed me to achieve at a much higher level and to be compensated well for that. So it's all good in the end. The fourth thing I talk about was flipping and this idea of just flipping stuff. Like, get caught up in this, flip it for the positive. Get caught in this, flip it for the positive. And the fifth, and that was about persistence and the path to mastery. Persist, persist, persist. And the fifth one was about changing your physiology, moving your body. Get Tony Robbins on the whole show. Now, Tony Robbins is a big one on moving the body, shaking it up, moving the body around, changing your physiology. And I forget what he's saying. It's like motion creates emotion. So when we move our body, it changes us emotionally as well. So extremely powerful there. So there you go. Those are the 5 things I wanted to talk about when it gets down to stopping negative emotions. How to stop negative thoughts is the name of this podcast. But we're getting into thoughts. They lead on to emotions and all the rest of it. So yes, it is about changing our emotions as well. Now, as I said, if you've got any questions for me, make sure you drop me a line. If you're interested to know what I'm up to, check out www.carlmassey.com. There's a whole bunch of good resources there. I put out a newsletter having some fantastic happiness tips in there. I've also got on my homepage there a number of free resources you can go to. So there's lots of great stuff there. And as I said, if you ever want to drop me an email and ask me about anything or jump onto my Facebook page, Carl Massey, you're more than welcome to check out that. And like I said, I'll get back and talk to you directly. If you haven't picked up a guidebook to optimum health, make sure you pick up that, or a guidebook to happiness. Both of them are fantastic books. The other thing I was going to say was I've got a good buddy of mine, and it's one of the clients I'm working with as well, that's running a yoga teacher training course in Bali in September, October. I'm going to be involved a little bit. I'm doing one of the presentations there for the yoga teacher training. But if you know anyone that's interested in a yoga teacher training course, Octavia, who I've interviewed before, who's got a chapter in the Guidebook to Optimum Health, is one of the best yoga instructors I've met over the last 15 years. So he's running a yoga teacher training course in Bali. It's going to be pretty awesome. If you want to find out more details about that, either drop me a line directly or you can go to the website, thepracticebali.com. Thepracticebali.com, and there's all the details there for that yoga teacher training. Okay, so that's enough for me. I think I need a drink of water. My throat is a little bit dry. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you listening, you being here, and giving me a reason to get to share what I'm learning along the way. So thank you so much for that opportunity. Anyway, as I said, if you want to get any more happiness tips, if you want to get some other freebies, check out my website, carlmassey.com, CarlMassey.com, and sign up for the Happiness Tips newsletter. And finally, wherever you are on this amazing, beautiful, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours, have an absolutely fantastic day. Take care.